Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and any of our great affiliates across the country. Coming up in this hour in 15 minutes, we'll discuss like the ceiling for the seed for Miami of Ohio, undefeated in action tonight. And we'll run down some other games as well on Hoops. Brian Mahoney, who covers the league, we'll talk trade deadline with him in 30 minutes. And right now we go out to the Progressive guest line. More basketball as a professional sports bettor Aaron Renning joins the program now. ER, it's been a minute. Thanks for the time, pal. How are you?
I'm doing great. Always good to be with you. And talk some NBA here.
How has the season, we're like 3 months into it now, how has the season been going for you?
It's been a home run, hoping on a grand slam. I mean, I've been fortunate. You guys know I'm not on here to sell anything or whatever. I tell you, if I was not having a great year, mm-hmm. but I think like starting on November 1st or right in there, I won 10 straight weeks. So, I mean, I don't remember hardly doing that. That's hard to do.
Yeah, no kidding. And also you, at the tail end of this run, we were communicating and you're like, hey, pay attention to the Knicks. They've lost so many games in a row after the cup run. You were at that game or those games out here in Las Vegas when they win the cup. What put you on the fade train of the Knicks after that game?
You know, again, it's not anything like crazy genius. I was 10 feet away from the Knicks celebrating the in-season tournament down there. And, you could just see it. Like I say, Spike Lee's running around like a maniac. They were just acting like they had just won the NBA Finals. And, you know, again, you have to remember the last 2 years, you know, the Bucks, when they won it, had a bad run mm-hmm. after the Lakers, same thing. So, and it's not that I don't like this Knicks team, but, you know, they're a little bit banged up. They have zero depth. And, you know, I was having a drink after the game with our pal, our common guy, Sooner Adam. And I just was thinking, I think we're going to make some money off this game tonight. And then I remember looking at their schedule and it was just really, really rough. And I go, I think we can make a lot of money off the Knicks after this win. And yeah, so I hit like five or six in a row against the Knicks after that. And at that point, you're just riding it out. So I hit 11 bets in a row. I don't remember or recall doing that with one team or even on an over-under.
Well, good catch by you. Pays to go to these games and notice stuff like that and file it away. So let me talk to you about the East then. The Knicks right now are 6.5 back of the Pistons. They're the number one seed as we speak. Celtics are number two. Raptors are number three seed. And everybody behind the Pistons from like 2 through 5, they're kind of bunched up all together, including the Cavaliers. What does the top of the Eastern Conference look like with your power ratings?
Yeah, again, I always say you always have to remember what regular season power rating to a playoff power rating are generally going to be different, and that's how you kind of have to look at things. But yeah, you can't take anything away from what the Pistons have done so far this season, leading the Eastern Conference by 5 games. Again, we go back to the NBA championship last year, Oklahoma City against Indiana, athletic, teams that get up and down the court, defend, etc. And the Pistons kind of fit that mold. I mean, they play defense a lot different mm-hmm. than the Thunder do, but boy, it is hard to get an inside basket. They protect the rim so well with what the Pistons do. So you really have to have them as the number one power rated team. And, you know, you get in the playoffs, we'll see with Boston, if Tatum does come back and give them anything, that could certainly vault them into being around there. I still think this Knicks team will be fine in the playoffs and certainly still have a chance to come out of the Eastern Conference here. Again, like I said, they're a team without any depth. They didn't want to, be so hard on their starters with minutes. Do they have some flaws? Absolutely. You always worry about the Brunson Towns pairing. We'll see what they do at the trade deadline, but you still look at their starting five, top six guys, good enough to win the Eastern Conference. You still have to talk about Cleveland. The one thing I'll say about Cleveland is pretty much all season long, they have talked about really not caring about the regular season. Mm-hmm. Can they turn it on when the playoffs come around? Because, look, they were all out last year in the regular season. And then, you know, once again, the postseason hits and they're banged up, guys are injured. So they just said, you know, we're going to try to peak at playoff time. So I think all those four teams really have a chance to win the Eastern Conference. After that, I mean, I'd put the Charlotte Hornets up against most of those teams.
All right. Oh,
wow. Okay.
Very interesting. So you mentioned Detroit is number two in defense. What do you think? They just moved to 7.5 at one book, 214.5 at Denver.
Yeah, I actually do have a bet on that game under tonight. You know, it was interesting with the Denver Nuggets because after Joker went out, you think, well, I'll fade him and maybe bet under the total. It really didn't play out that way for, you know, the first couple of weeks after Joker went out. He's supposed to be back maybe in the next week. But here of late, I've definitely been able to ride them under the total. Four straight games going under the total for this team. And we've kind of seen defense adjust. They're really trying to take Jamal Murray out of the game. They've trapped him, get the ball out of his hands. So once you see that, and then what, their other four starters are out that they started the year with or expected to start the year with. So it's been a slog, and it's been really hard for this team to score. And Paulie, as you mentioned, going up against the second-best NBA team here right now from a defensive perspective. I had to play this game under the total once again. And with Detroit, obviously how they play defense, it's been very good. They've been an under machine. And Kate Cunningham still has that bad wrist. And if you watch him play, you just kind of pick it up. Some nights he kind of has it, some he don't, but he's having a much harder time shooting the basketball.
Okay.
Excellent. This is a funky number, at least a trend. Portland has won and covered 8 in a row in D.C. They're 6.5 tonight in Washington, 232. What's the case for the Blazers here?
Yeah, this is. I'll give you guys one of my favorite angles here I've used the last handful of years, and this is just something I came up with, and it's worked out well. I don't play this blindly, but so here's what I'm looking for. I want a Western Conference team against an Eastern Conference team. Obviously, you have the superior conference. Sometimes you can be a little bit undervalued that way. I want them in a back-to-back situation. They played the night before, and I want them on the road. I think all those three factors can be just a little bit underrated in the marketplace. A team on a back-to-back, sometimes you get a little overreaction. The road, sometimes, you know, the road teams have always done a little bit better here the last few years. And the final thing I want is a team off a loss. I want that team off a loss as well. So far this year, it's 8-4 against the spread. Rockets were in that same situation on Friday when they beat the Pistons outright, getting a handful of points. So, and then, yeah, like I said, I don't play that blindly, but then I handicap the game. And I really like this Portland team. Really good defensive team, kind of under the radar as well. And as we've seen, the Wizards still no clue what they're doing, trading for Trae Young recently. So Trae Young's on the Jordan Poole. They made that trade a number of years ago in his bad contract. That's kind of the career territory he's looking at right now.
I think you're spot on with that. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Professional sports bettor Aaron Renning, our guest on the Progressive Guest Line. What do you make of the Thunder right now? I know they have a zillion injuries. They also can't shoot the basketball. They're laying four. They're losing these games outright. Back to back now, double digit favorites. Now they're laying 15 tonight against the Pelicans. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good situation, if you could say, for the Thunder. I mean, the last time they lost a couple of losses, they came back, and they still, remember, they struggled against Utah. They lost against Phoenix. They lost to Charlotte, and then mm-hmm. it was a 19-point favorite, struggled against Utah. Back-to-back losses at home against Indiana and Toronto, so no big juggernauts. I had a friend text me and said, oh, you know, the Thunder got to come out and play well against Toronto. And I said the same thing, Mitch. I said, I just don't like where this roster's at right now. I don't like Caruso. I don't like Hartenstein and Jalen Williams all being out for this team. I mean, yes, they have tremendous depth. They were doing it early in the year, but I can't lay 14.5, 15 points in a very good spot. I just did not get there in the Thunder tonight.
Do you think they can be had come playoff time, assuming they're going to be closer to full strength? But do you think once everybody, all these teams like Denver and San Antonio, if they're at full strength and they meet in the playoffs, like they could beat OKC in a seven-game series?
it's so hard. Just the way they defend, and quite honestly, the NBA kind of lets them get away. And if they can get to full strength, I think they're going to be, they're probably going to be the favorite to win the NBA title the next 5 years. With that said, if Halliburton doesn't get hurt in game seven, yeah, they might not even win the title last year. So it's not mm-hmm. like they were just blowing these teams out of the water. You know, I'll say this. I think Denver, if they can get healthy, I think they have the starting five, and now they're going to have some depth. Mm-hmm. I think maybe this Jokic injury helps them in the long run. Maybe he's is a little bit more rested into the playoffs, and they figured out some different avenues when he's off the court to be able to do things. If it doesn't happen for Denver, I mean, it's got to happen here in the next one or two years, but they definitely have the starting five and the team to be able to give Oklahoma City another test. And again, when I was going to the in-season tournament out here in Las Vegas, I did kind of say to myself, the only team that's going to beat the Thunder the next 5 years in a playoff series is whatever team Wemby's on. And so I would give the Spurs a puncher's chance. I don't know if it's going to be this year, and boy, I'd love to – hopefully he'll stay healthy, but what a talent that guy is.
No kidding. BR, love talking to you, man. That was awesome. Thanks for the perspective. Good luck tonight. We appreciate it.
Good to be on with you guys. Take care.
There you go.
Thank you.
BR Sports 1 on X, Aaron Running, Dynamite on the NBA. So what would the seed be? What's the ceiling for Miami of Ohio this year? I think the answer is going to surprise you. We'll kick it around next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So last night we had an undefeated team in action. By the way, how did that almost slip away from Arizona?
I know.
I thought it was a screw job by the referees. BYU was getting some home cooking, but they were clearly the better team. And if you held like 1.5 or 2, I know BYU went off as the favorite, but if you bet that early and you were on BYU and the fact you actually had a chance to cover that game potentially late, I mean, that would have been an all-timer. Arizona was awesome again last night. And now two more undefeated teams go tonight. We talked a lot about Michigan-Nebraska in the first hour. We'll hit on that again. You also have Miami of Ohio at home against UMass. Miami of Ohio in the MAC. They are 20-0 on the year.
I hope they can do this and pull it off.
Undefeated regular season?
Yeah.
They're 9-point favorites. Total is 164.5. So when we talk college basketball, we reference a couple of different sites. And I'm going to tell you about one later on in the second hour of the show. Third hour of the show that will blow you. I mean, today I had kind of a tutorial on it and it's unbelievable. It's the best site I've seen for basically any sport. And I was blown away today. Why? Anyway, go ahead.
Why?
It's put it this way. It's more advanced to me for college basketball than FanGraphs or Baseball Savant is for baseball.
Okay.
And the digging that you can do, they have everything. It's called CBB Analytics. And I'll tell you more about it coming up a little bit later on. But Bart Torvik is the guy that we reference quite a bit on the show as well. So his site, entirely free. He has something on here called the TourneyCast, average seed for these teams. For example, Arizona, the average seed is 1.2. And then he also has a mode feature, which is the most frequent seed when making the tournament. And the most frequent seed for Arizona is a 1, Duke a 1, Michigan a 1, and UConn a 1. He also has Nebraska, the most frequent seed when making the tournament is a 1 seed. Well, you go all the way down to where he has Miami, and he has the average seed for Miami as an 11, and the most frequent seed that they receive also an 11 seed. So what do you think that would be fair if they run the table in the regular season and win their conference tournament?
That's not fair. The MAC's not that bad. This isn't the SWAC or something.
The MAC, by the way, in recent years, they've actually had pretty good performances.
Excellent. Yes, they won many games mm-hmm. in the big dance. That'd be unfortunate.
I think people would be stunned by that if that actually happens.
Uh-huh.
Like, just casual fans watching, and you're like, wait a second here. You have a team that's undefeated completely. Now, I think a lot of people would agree. Just, again, this is where the Patriots conversation comes into the mix, right? You're going to look at the overall schedule and who they played, and you're going to find out they haven't played anybody. So that's going to affect and impact, no doubt, where they're going to land. Now, do they have losses coming? The common story here is with this team, whenever you're talking about Miami in action, is that they're a great shooting team, but they are not good at all at rebounding. So when those shots are not going in, as common as it has been dropping for them throughout the entire year, and there has to be some regression at some point, what happens when they're missing and not getting their own rebounds? I thought they were fortunate to win the Kent State game.
Yes, no doubt. But I hope this story continues, though. It'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
But that shows you what you're up against, though, that number one, if they lose a couple times, they're not going to get an at-large. And even if they can have a ridiculous record, one loss or no losses, maybe 11 seed, 10 seed. That's too bad.
Luke, if we could fire this, I'm blanking on where this is from, actually. The piece of audio somebody talking about. Do you know you have this? Paul Fritschner was on, I think, with Dustin.
Yes.
On Cashing Out last night, and he was talking overall about the seed ceiling this year for Miami of Ohio.
If they get into the MAC tournament with one loss or less, it's just really hard for me. I know they haven't played a difficult schedule. I understand that. But at some point, the wins have to matter. And to me, if you're stacking 30-plus wins, like at that point, let's say they take one loss in the regular season and then they lose in the MAC tournament title game, you're talking about a team that could have 32 wins at that point. To keep them out, to me, would be dumb. But I'm also, you know, I'm smart enough to know what the selection committee would probably do in that situation. I just hate to think like that. I'd like to see them get in. They're probably, I would say their ceiling seed is probably a 9 seed. I think if they run the table and then, let's say, beat Akron in the MAC tournament title game, they're probably getting somewhere in that 9 or 10 seed range. Their schedule is going to keep them out from getting above anything out of that 8-9 game, I think. But, you know, I think they're projected anywhere from an 11 to 10 right now, and that feels right for this team. And they'd be dangerous when they get in there, especially you think in that 10 seed playing a 7 seed that maybe struggled to the finish line, or an 11 seed doing a 6 the same way. I think they're a dangerous team. You always look at those mid-major teams that get hot offensively. They check those boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I would love to see. Wouldn't it be great if they actually did stick them with, let's say, a 10 or a 9 seed, and they win the first game, so then they play a 2 or a 1, and the shots just keep dropping the entire game? Like, that's who they are and what they do. And they come out in the first half, and they're like, I don't know, 8 of 14 from downtown. Like, yeah, man, we play basketball. We're good.
Well, to his point, they just did this to, would have done it, to UC San Diego. They won their conference tournament, though. But they were, what, 28-3 or something?
Oh, that would have been absolutely brutal.
They did it to Butler. The year Indiana made the title game, Butler went to Indiana and beat them. And they were like 28-3, and they kept them out.
I think.
Because they lost in their conference tournament. And Allen Boston, I think, had them power rated a top 10 team in the country.
Yeah. I remember several times they did it to Wichita State. The one year I think they plugged them in, that region, if I recall correctly, North Carolina won the title. They were the 1. Kentucky was the 2. UCLA was the 3. That was the Lonzo Ball UCLA team. And Kentucky had De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Bam Adebayo. They were loaded to the gills, right? They gave Wichita a 10. And that Wichita team, I want to say, was like a 2-point dog on a neutral against that Kentucky team. And they were, I think they were in it the whole way.
And the one year, they put them in the play-in?
Yes!
And then they won, and then they had to go play the early game on Saturday.
And they won all of that.
They won a game, won another game, and then they played Miami, I think, at 9 in the morning or something, Pacific time.
Well, the year that Wichita was undefeated, that's still to this day one of the most difficult regions they've ever given any team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that year was when they gave them, Louisville was the 4, and Louisville was one of the favorites to win the national title. They may have been the defending champs that year.
It's hard to win. And going back to what Doug Gottlieb used to say, toughest thing to do in all of sports is win a road conference game in college hoops. And I know Von Tobel likes UMass tonight, but Miami of Ohio being at home, you know, once, especially if Nebraska goes down tonight, everyone will be talking about the pressure and expectations and can you run the table? And not to mention, it's everyone's Super Bowl that you're playing in the MAC.
All right. So what do you want to do with the aforementioned Nebraska Cornhuskers taking on Michigan? a 12-point dog tonight. They're undefeated, but they've also been hit by the flu bug.
I liked them until the flu news, and it's up to 12 now. But it's just unprecedented that you see a team that's 20-0 ranked to top five and a 12-point dog. The 298 non-conference schedule. Michigan, though, on an 0-6 ATS run. Also, these spreads have been ridiculous because their power rating was so, they're blowing everybody out in the non-conference. But it's a clash of styles and pace, 11 versus 204. And also, if who controls the pace? And if Nebraska can knock down shots and also get to the free throw line, which they're 329 in free throw rate. But six quad one wins, a great resume, probably the biggest regular season game in Nebraska history. But it's now with the news you had and everyone's got the flu, Michigan up to 12.
Well, what would the flu bug impact the most with Nebraska? On offense, or would it be on defense, especially against a team that likes to get up and go a lot more than they do? And they're so effective and so efficient overall, talking about the Wolverines offense. Is that where they would get lost? Just defensively keeping up with the motion and trailing players and...
Yeah, well, I would say both, yeah.
Yeah.
It hurt both ends. I mean, you're dragging ass, and then you're going against a team here with a frenetic pace and a team that can light it up and score. And I mean, Gonzaga might go like 33-1.
Yeah.
Michigan beat them by 40.
That's pretty impressive.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah. I think Nebraska team total under might be worth a look.
Are you concerned maybe they peaked too soon, or at least we're played there?
Possibly. Yeah. Talk to me in another month.
Yeah, but that goes back to how hard it is once conference play starts, though, too.
Well, and they also have. There's a stretch. We talked about this when they were in the middle of this, you know, taking everybody out and killing them by 30 points. They have a stretch of games coming up. I think it starts pretty soon where it's like 4 out of 5. They get Duke on a neutral. They play, I think, at Purdue, at Illinois. Like, they're losing more games.
I think that was Arizona's schedule, too.
Arizona's schedule is insane. Yeah. Kansas' schedule. Well, yes. Everybody in the Big 12. I mean, it's just one right after another.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, spend $129. You get 2 pounds of fully cooked wings plus 50% off site-wide. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings, and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more. Incredible selection. Go to the website, check out the menu and what you want, and get your free wings. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Food's phenomenal. Delivered right to your door.
I'll point this out. I had their scallop potatoes today for breakfast.
All right.
And they were absolutely fantastic. I think that was the first time I've ever had the scallop potatoes from Omaha Steaks. I've had Omaha Steaks several times. It's amazing. But the scallop potatoes, put that in the cart when you order. Oh, my God. They were so good. Brian Mahoney on the program coming up next. Covers the NBA for the Associated Press. Are the Knicks making a move before the deadline? And will Giannis be on the move? We'll ask him coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Talk some more NBA here. The card tonight. Also, deadline coming up. Not too far away now, actually. Brian Mahoney, longtime friend of the show, has covered the league for a long time as well for the Associated Press. Pops on the program now on the Progressive Guest Line. Hey, Brian, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. So we just talked to a professional sports bettor 30 minutes ago. His name's Aaron Rennie, and he was telling us that he went to the NBA Cup out here in Las Vegas, and he noticed something about the Knicks, how they were celebrating. He's like, I think there's going to be a potential here to make some money betting against this team after the Cup. And they did not cover for 11 straight games, and he cleaned up. Why do you think they went into a funk after winning that thing out here?
Wow, that's a good move by him, first of all. But
yeah.
I think two reasons, Mitch. I think one, first of all, I said from the start, I don't see why any East team wants to make the final. You're giving yourself an extra road trip, a West trip in the middle of the season. And I think they kind of wore themselves out a little bit, first of all. But then second of all, Josh Hart got hurt about, you know, on Christmas Day, and he was out for 8 games. And I think he's just so indispensable to them. They don't really play fast unless Josh Hart's in a lineup. And I think they became too predictable, and the bench was weakened, obviously. So I think all of that sort of went into it. And they went into a really terrible slump. 9 out of 11 was really bad. They figured out a little bit now, it seems like. But, yeah, that was the end of December was an awful stretch for them.
Can you also speak to the timing where It's unacceptable to be in third place. You go to the conference finals and fire your coach. Dolan doubles down and says, absolutely, we have enough, and this is a team that can go to the finals. And then they turned on Cat, and also the bad stretch happened. This is all going on at the same time.
Yeah, that was funny, Paul. And Jim Dolan never talks. He did a radio interview, said we should go to the finals, and then they went into a terrible stretch kind of coinciding with that. So we got to chuckle about that a little bit here. You know, better off saying nothing. Yeah, keep going with that. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Cat. He is a guy who, look, these were all-in moves they made last year, acquiring him and then acquiring Mikal Bridges. They gave up everything they had left really to give up to make those two moves. So when he doesn't play bad, he takes a brunt of that. And, you know, he's an offensive guy. They don't expect him to be a shutdown defender. But if he's not giving them good numbers offensively, you can tell it bothers the team. They really kind of go into a little bit of a funk, knowing they can't count on him that night. And it's certainly that happened way too often during that bad stretch.
So with a deadline looming, do you think they are active and make a move that could help them navigate their way through what is becoming a tricky Eastern Conference the way it appears at the top?
I think they're going to try and do something, Mitch, but I don't know, again, to what I just said previously, they have lost the ability to make their big move. Mm-hmm. You know, they give up all the assets for Mikal Bridges. There's just not a lot they can do. But that said, the two moves they made in the summer haven't worked out the way they want to. Jordan Clarkson and Yabusele, those guys haven't really nailed down Mike Brown's confidence level. So they're going to have to find a way to at least tinker with the bench a little bit, I think, to sort of build out a second unit, what they thought they did in the summertime.
Dolan's an interesting fellow. If you get bounced early in the playoffs, would Mike Brown be safe?
You know, it's an interesting question. Obviously, you'd hate to admit a mistake that quickly, and certainly that's what it would be was if he fired a coach after 1 year. But, you know, if it doesn't work out, and I'm not saying, it may still look, they still have a good record, and I think their best basketball might still be ahead of them. Who knows? But, you know, when you make a move like they did, if it doesn't work out with the guys on the roster you need to work out with, your top guys, then you have to say maybe we did bring the wrong guy in. So certainly Mike Brown will want to avoid getting that possibility happen.
Well, that's the position Dolan put you in, though, right? I mean, the only way you can improve is by going to the finals. Would you get rid of Tibbs when you go to the conference finals and saying it's not good enough? So that's all the pressure that Brown's under.
And the other part of it is, even if you take the win-loss record out of it, Mike Brown's mandate certainly seemed to be to not be Thibodeau, to play the bench, develop the young guys, do that kind of thing. Well, if suddenly he's reducing the rotation because he doesn't have the confidence in the two bench guys you brought in, then what happens? Then it becomes more like Thibodeau again. So then you say, why did we make the move in the first place? So, again, he's got to be able to find a way to win games with doing what they wanted him to do, playing more guys and young guys, and that's hard to do if those guys aren't playing well.
Talking to your sources and all your people in the league, do you think Milwaukee's going to get rid of Freak?
I think people feel like it's going to happen eventually, that it's hard to stop right now. But whether it happens now, whether it happens in the summertime, no one's really sure. No one's positive exactly what Giannis wants. No one is positive if Milwaukee thinks they have one shot left to convince him. But I think that's the move they have to try. I think they have to wait as long as possible, see if they can make some kind of Hail Mary move that shows him that maybe there is a chance they can improve. But that's just, it's hard to imagine they can do that at this point.
The biggest name that you could potentially see getting dealt before the deadline would be who?
I would say John Morant. I think they're both sides looking to end that one. You know, he hasn't had a great year. I think he's taken a step back as a player, but based on what he's done earlier in his career, I think someone will take a shot at that. And after that, maybe Anthony Davis is a big name, not really a player anymore this season, but certainly a big name still, and maybe someone will take a shot at that as well.
If you were running the Celtics, how would you handle the Tatum situation?
I think all along I would have said he can play when he's ready. But now, I think it would have been easier to say, all right, even if he is ready, there's no point. We're in eighth place or sixth place, whatever. But if you're in second place and they say he's ready, I don't understand why you wouldn't. I think part of the reason this team is playing so well is because they do see how good he looks in his workouts. I think they know there's a light here for us, that he can come back earlier than we thought, and let's just be as close as we can if and when that happens. And they've done a great job of that. And, you know, if he does come back, then, yeah, I mean, no one else really says they can't win. You know, they certainly already have a great bench, a great coach. Yep. Their defense is very good. You add him, then look out. That East is winnable for them.
No doubt. Brian Mahoney, our guest, covers the NBA for the AP. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. On that note, you also, well, you voted for awards in the past. How would you look at the Coach of the Year as we speak? A lot of basketball to be played as well, but would you lean towards Bickerstaff at this point? Would you say Mazzulla, my God, because of the injuries and the Tatum, obviously, news from last year? Or what about the job David Adelman is currently doing with Denver?
I think Dan Mayan's done a great job, you know, that whole year long. I would lean toward one of the two things you said first, Bickerstaff or Mazzulla. And, you know, I don't know if Mazzulla's necessarily got the credit in the past with the talent that this team had.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when you look at what they had to give up over the summertime, what they're missing now in Tatum, and then you look at where they are, I think certainly he deserves a vote. And with Bickerstaff, listen, we saw Detroit getting better last year, but this was supposed to be, everyone thought, an incremental rise. This has been a massive leap, it seems like, this year. So I think either one of those guys, I would go one and two in some order. I don't really know which one at the moment.
How do you look at, there's been a lot of steam in the last like 12 hours, well, talking points anyway, because Luka was so good again last night. How do you look at him as an MVP candidate? Lakers might win that division, but I think the resistance is the guy is terrible on defense, especially when you compare him to like other true MVP candidates.
You know, I wonder about that. I wouldn't rate that too much against him because everything he does so well. To me, if a guy's giving you, you know, 35 and 12 a night and your team's winning games, I can't penalize him for not being a great defender. But certainly a lot of voters might. And I get that. Listen, is he, you know, if you want to say, okay, if you're neck and neck between him and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and you say one guy defends like crazy, one guy doesn't. I understand that, yes, but I couldn't hold it too much against Luka because of how good he kind of is at everything else.
Well said.
Very good. You can follow Brian on X. He's at Brian C. Mahoney. He's done a great job covering the NBA for a long time for the Associated Press. Great catching up, Brian. Thank you. Enjoy the games tonight.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Well done.
Join
it's
us
a pleasure.
On the Progressive Guest Line. I think that's how it's going to play out, honest, by the way.
He's averaging 34 a game.
Well, Luka.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, you think he can win the MVP?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about that.
I'm saying if he continues to play like this, I ruled him out because I was concerned about the record. But what he's doing in the last couple weeks, and he's improved defensively, you know, also helps that he lost all that weight. But what he did against the Bulls, what he did against Dallas, I mean, if you're going to average 34, 8, and 9, come on.
Well, what is SGA, remember, hasn't played a lot of fourth quarters because they were blowing so many teams out. You have that, and also, like, at the end of the year...
It helps where he plays.
What if the Pistons have 65 wins?
Yeah, good call.
Or the Celtics somehow get the one or the two seed.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have to consider Jaylen Brown or Cade Cunningham.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have some breaking news, and we're going to get to it coming up next.
Absolutely outrageous.
You saw this?
I saw it. It's absolutely outrageous.
It's petty, it's childish, and it's I can't even believe that this happened. And I'm curious if there's also like betting odds on this because it would have been probably 1,000 to 1 for him not to get in. And if you ever want another moment in time that explains why any Hall of Fame has become an absolute joke over the years, this takes the cake. And this has now surpassed any other sport for the most comical Hall of Fame. What are we doing here? This is a fake world that we're living in. We'll get into it coming up next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
I sent out a tweet asking if any betting markets were available on this particular market, and I don't know if it was or not, and who would have actually thought to themselves, I need to bet to know, because it probably would have been 1,000 to 1. Here's your breaking news. 8-time Super Bowl winning coach Bill Belichick did not get elected to the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. He fell short of 40 out of the 50 votes needed to get introduced in the first year of eligibility. He won 6 as a head coach, 8 overall.
Come on.
He's the best coach in the history of the game.
What an embarrassment. It is embarrassing.
Just tear it down. Don't even play the Hall of Fame game next year.
And I knew it would happen. I knew it would happen. According to sources in the room, Spygate and Deflategate came up.
So I can expect. Yep.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is from My Sports Update on X, Ari. Bill Polian was a vocal figure in the Hall of Fame deliberations involving Bill Belichick, with Spygate and Deflategate coming up among voters during discussions. Per a voter who spoke anonymously, Polian, the former Bills and Colts GM and longtime Patriots rival, told some voters he believed Belichick should, quote, wait a year as penance for Spygate.
Okay. Oh, my God. Oh, that's unbelievable. That is, like you said, so petty.
How does this Polian's guy have a say in anything? Get him out of the room.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Shouldn't even be involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember when that was going on. Deflategate, no hyperbole, one of the dumbest stories. If I was Brady, I would have sued Goodell for defamation. He compared that, which you learn this growing. Number one, Belichick said it was on Brady and not him. He had no idea about that. It was Brady with the PSI levels. But they teach you that in school growing up. And also when it's cold outside, you see the pressure on your tires and PSI and all that. I mean, they won a game by 50 points.
Sure.
To suggest that the best quarterback ever and coach needed, you know, this edge, just taking a little bit of air out of the football. That was the dumbest story ever.
And, oh, by the way,
then he suspended him.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, it lasted for months and it would not go away.
Yes. The appeal and coming
down. Oh, my God.
And all
I just,
this, and he suspends him, and much ado about nothing. Ridiculous. He compares it to using performance enhancing drugs. Are you kidding?
That was like Barbaro, right?
Yeah.
Before the Derby. Oh, horse. Okay. And then all of a sudden, updates every single minute. And it just wouldn't stop. And it was always on the bottom line and more reports. And oh, my God, Dave, what are we going to do about this? How about nothing? How about stop talking about it? Make it go away.
I remember, too. He's like, well, Tom said he got a new phone and that maybe he's guilty because he didn't want to show. He's Tom Brady. He was married to a supermodel. He's friends with Damon. Affleck was going through a divorce and all that. Like, I'm not going to give you the more leaks than the Iraqi Navy. I'm not giving you my phone anyways.
How about, I mean,
not to mention what had been out there and what's on that phone. I mean, he's married to a supermodel. I mean, oh, the screen was cracked. I had to get a new one. Oh, it doesn't add up.
How does Bill Polian have a say?
Oh, my God. 17 division titles, 9 conference championships, 12 Super Bowl appearances, 21 winning seasons. Nope, got to wait. Peter King. This decision has a major impact beyond just 1 year. Are they going to hold them out again? What does it mean for other coaches? And if you have that resume and can't get in, apparently a source reached out to Belichick and he said, oh, 8 Super Bowls, not enough.
Not enough, huh?
What does a guy have to do? No kidding.
So they want to make him wait 1 year. So they're going to,
like you said,
and then so he'll be unanimous next year.
Did you think?
Think about how dumb that would be.
Oh, yeah.
If every single person votes for him next year to get in, but they wanted to make him wait a year because of this dummy, Bill Polian, bringing up Spygate and Deflategate. Kick Polian. He should have no say ever again in anything. And put Belichick in. There should be like an immediate emergency conference right now that says, no, hold on. Polian, you're gone. Bye-bye. We're never going to hear from you ever again. And we're going to make an exception, and Bill Belichick's going to get in. Because what he did for football has been infinitely more important than what you've ever done as well. Your fingerprints are not even close to all over the sport like him.
Let's go back to Spygate, too. So if I get this straight and then the rules, right? I can sit here with a piece of paper and just stand on the sideline while I'm watching the Jets coaches and just write down, okay, he's signaling this. He's signaling this. This sign might mean this coverage. This might mean that. Totally acceptable, no problem. But if I film it, then it's against the rules and it's a problem. And then somehow it taints my legacy or it could keep me out of the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I can write everything down, but if I film it and I tell them I'm doing it, but then it's okay. Like I'm going to get some edge, and that's why I mean, did they continue to win after the, yes. Did anything slow down with victories or division titles or Super Bowls of Brady? No, it didn't slow down.
No, no, for 20 years. Best run that the NFL has ever produced out of one single organization.
Did Tom win in Tampa? I mean, come on.
So I'm glad that you brought up, actually, Deflategate and how worthless that was in our lives for so long.
2 years.
Oh, it was never ending, right? And that, by comparison to that, would be steroids in baseball 25 years ago when it was a talking point for, I think, 3 years. And yet baseball would never do anything about it. And people who covered the sport would never come out and write stories about it or say anything about it. I think this guy, it was only the people involved in like the Victor Contis of the world who would talk about it. That was it. And it was just, well, Bonds can go out there and hit 73 home runs and be juiced out of his mind, but we're going to go out there and let him play. But then the same baseball writers who never did anything at the time held a grudge and kept those guys out of the Hall of Fame. And as a writer, I thought there was any player who was ever suspicious, or if I thought personally he may have used steroids, I'm going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame and he's not going to go on my ballot. Think again. That's a six-year-old operating there.
This is sad.
And that's the only thing that I can compare to this. And that's why Hall of Fames, I mean, they're just the dumb. This used to be a cool thing when we were kids. And for years now, and this is just the icing on the cake, dumbest thing in sports.
So at least 11 out of 50 people said, no, he's not a Hall of Famer.
At least.
Oh, my God.
At least that many. And I wonder how many people Polian actually won over by telling him, guys, listen to me. I've been involved in a long time. I was I was with the Colts when that happened. And Deflategate, that really meant a lot. I think we could have won the game, even though we lost by 7 touchdowns. And his voice was enough to win people over? Or did these voters actually have their minds made up that they were not going to vote for Belichick before that? Because imagine Napoleon's message to them actually made their decisions for him. That makes it 10 times worse. I can't believe this. This is a dark day for the sport.
Would you put it past Kraft to say don't put him in?
No, that's a possibility as well.
Okay.
And Kraft is supposed to be up this year as well.
That's right.
Imagine if Kraft goes in before Belichick.
That's also a shame how that ended. That never should have happened.
Uh-huh.
They should be on good terms. You only live once. Come on now. Let's get that straightened out. Where's the common sense in that room?
Yeah.
Where are people pounding the table about we're going to look like fools here and people are going to be all over us and call us clowns?
Yes. Where's somebody in that room Bill, shut your mouth?
On. Number one, just show the record and the resume. Number two, the other thing is, while that nonsense was going on, if Polian and the people are going to bring that up in the room, as Al Michaels said on Sunday Night Football while it was going on, remember Eli Manning would take the footballs and they would scrub them down for hours and hours. Aaron Rodgers, I like more air in the football. But if Tom Brady would take a 0.1% out of the air, out of the football, just to make it like, oh, got to punish him. Make him wait a year. Or even suspend the guy. I mean, come on.
What do you think he was if this was available, like on, let's say, Kelce or Poly Market or something like that?
Infinity.
How could you even Infinity. Make a market on that? Yeah. Because you're going to offer the take back on the is going to be...
Yeah,
I don't even know what that number would be. And I would never even have thought of betting it.
Yeah, but it's a good point, too, about the Hall of Fame in baseball. Whether it's 100%, 95%, or we don't like to put a guy in on the first try. That happens all the time. Who's going to sit there and say, you know what, I can't get there with Greg Maddux? Yeah, Jeter, not good enough. I mean, there are people who did that.
I know. Mariano Rivera became the first guy to ever be unanimous.
Think about that.
To get
Cal Ripken, I don't know.
Nolan Ryan,
No.
Compiler.
No.
Ken Griffey Jr. was not unanimous. Ken Griffey Jr. was not unanimous. And was he not beloved by the entire national baseball media? I thought he was. But also he was like a childhood hero of mine, so I thought he could do no wrong. This is, and watch, Paul, people are going to come out and defend this, by the way. I'm already seeing it.
Who?
People on that right now responding to the show.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding
I can't
me.
Even, it's just, it's
that's where we, that's where, of course, we have to unite with Boston and in New England.
Oh,
that is absolutely ridiculous that you're going to bring up Spygate and Deflategate. That is absurd. Number one, he was an unbelievable defensive coordinator. I mean, how many Super Bowls do you have to win? Come on.
What a shame. You're exactly right. How did somebody in the room not step up and say, hold on a second here? We need to put this man in. Otherwise, we're going to all be full of regret.
Where's Parcells?
For the next year.
Parcells, I mean, come on. Oh, that's outrageous.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick.
All All right.
Buffoonery.
Well, I'll tell you what. JT the Brick is going to join the program coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on Belichick not getting in the Hall of Fame. But also, who are the Raiders going to hire for their next head coach? He has a pulse on this team as well as anybody. And would they dare trade the number one overall pick if a team offers the mother load? We'll ask him next.